FM 101.9 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 Fan. Now, more of the Fanimal on the Fan.
All right, Mike Popovic in for Tony, miles across the way. Founder and director of scouting, Kyle Crabb at NDT Scouting, that is going to join us here in just a second. But time for a Fanimal Crackers segment, sponsored by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast Royal Farms. I've got my 24-ounce coffee I picked up this morning in Severna Park. Ah, good. 100% Columbia coffee. Good stuff. All right, Miles, what do you got for us this week?
Here's Johnny. He's back. Johnny Manziel has signed to play football again as a quarterback in the upcoming Spring League. The Spring League kicks off March 28th in Austin, Texas. And during the season, several NFL scouts attended his games. And it looks like we could be seeing the resurgence of Johnny Manziel.
It will someone give him a chance? In the NFL, there's always a possibility. He said that he's on medication, I saw, for bipolar disorder. He's not drinking anymore. He's getting married. It seems like he's at a better place than he was. And he did show a little bit of a flash here and there with Cleveland of what he could do. I just don't know that at this point, are the odds so much stacked against him that teams are just moving on? I mean, we'll find out. But I wish him well, though.
He says, the Spring League has provided me a great opportunity to play ball again. And ultimately, that's all I want to do. Would you bring him into Baltimore if I had a chance to make the roster?
No.
Agreed.
I would not.
Yeah, neither would I. I don't think he even fits our system, but I wouldn't make that offer.
Ex-Major League Baseball star Esteban Loaiza is fighting the charges in his cocaine smuggling case, pleading not guilty to possessing more than 40 pounds of blow. The 46-year-old former All-Star pitcher appeared in court in his jailhouse jumpsuit, where his lawyer told the judge he denies all of the allegations against him. As previously reported, cops say Loaiza had a sophisticated drug smuggling compartment in his vehicle, and when they searched his home, they found the motherlode. Officials say Loaiza kept the drugs at a home just steps away from a preschool. Nice.
And pleaded not guilty.
Yeah, not guilty. Well, we'll see.
Let it play out in court.
Yeah.
But it's just, you hear these stories over and over and over, and these guys made millions of dollars playing professional sports.
Yeah, but we don't know if they didn't blow that money, though. That's the problem.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when you've got a compartment, a special compartment in your vehicle, come on. That's the giveaway. I mean, all the drugs at your house, that's tough to overcome, too. But the special compartment, come on.
I got a glove compartment. I got a glove, I got a, like a little box there in the middle, but nothing special.
No, nothing like that.
Put away.
Well, that's easily accessible and seen. With a special compartment, it's supposed to be hidden. So, all right, are we good with Kyle? All right, very good. Okay, Kyle Crabb joining us now on the Fanimal here as we talk the Ravens offseason and drafting. And Kyle, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning. Nothing better than starting off Saturday hearing about special compartments in cars for blow. So this is a great start to the day. Thanks, guys.
That's right. Kyle, let me ask you, I was taking a look at an article that Jonah Tolles published back on the 3rd of the month concerning the Ravens draft. And we all know that wide receiver, tight end, that is a very, very important spot that the Ravens really need to hit a home run with, especially given the fact that their salary cap situation is not great. They may restructure some deals, but that all said, you get him younger and cheaper in the draft. Calvin Ridley in the first round, though, is he going to fall to the Ravens there? Aren't they potentially going to have to use some of the draft picks they have to trade up and get that guy if that indeed is the pick?
Yeah, it's one of the most interesting position groups in this draft class, because you really don't have any universal prospects that you feel like at the wide receiver position you can plug and play and you feel good about him in any offense. For someone like Calvin Ridley, I think some teams, when they want a first-round player, they want a guy who's 6'2", 210-plus, really physical. That's not Calvin Ridley's game. So I don't think he's necessarily somebody that's going to have a super high demand, but then you also turn around and look at the landscape of the wide receiver group this year, and it's pretty barren as far as early picks. So that could conversely drive him up the boards. I think 16 is about a fair value for him. I don't think, unless Chicago just desperately drafts off of need and selects him, that this is a player that should be in consideration for a top 10 pick. But he is a guy that runs really good routes. He can get vertical. He's going to be a much better pro than what he was college player, just because of the offense that he played in and the lack of consistent passing that Alabama's had. So unless that big landmine is Chicago, if Ridley falls past Chicago, Chicago takes Quentin Nelson or defender, linebacker, goes a different direction, then I think Calvin Ridley has a really good chance to end up falling into Baltimore's lap.
Let me ask you this, something we've talked about here in Baltimore. The running game has gotten back more to the gap type schemes, more of a power type scheme instead of the zone blocking that they ran for several years. You know, in the passing game, they started out when Joe came to town, drafted Joe Flacco, that his camp camera ran a Eric Coryell vertical type passing game that has since been replaced by the West Coast offense. With Ridley, what kind, does he fit into the West Coast offense, assuming the Ravens keep that scheme, which by all accounts we haven't heard anything different?
Yeah, because what I really like about Ridley is how quick he is at the top of his routes. So his ability to really snap off with suddenness and carry his speed, which he has good speed, on harder angles when he has to make a hard cut, that's where you see him create a lot of his separation, because he's really good at controlling his body at that high rate of speed. So yes, he is a vertical burner. Yes, he can separate on you, but if you're having him run dig routes and slant routes and comeback patterns, that short area quickness really lends itself well to him performing well in those situations.
With the amount of holes that the Ravens have to fill, and if they go with Ridley in the first round, where do you see that? Where's their emphasis going down the draft into the second and third rounds, where they have had some success recently?
Yeah, I think this is a really great class to have a lot of picks between, say, 30 and 60. I know a lot of my contemporaries, guys that cover the draft, talk about how deep the class is on day two. So they're going to get an opportunity to land a lot of high-value players. I think for Baltimore, kind of restocking this offense, you feel like this offense is kind of in transition a little bit, and as you said, they've kind of made some scheme changes. So continuing to flesh that out, get guys that can continue to really punch you in the mouth up front, whether that's, you know, a tight end, a offensive lineman. I think those are two areas that you're going to see a lot of value in the second day of the draft that just so happen to align to some degree with where Baltimore can afford to bring in some fresh bodies.
The second round mock pick, James Daniels of Iowa. He's an offensive guard and center. Now, the Ravens have a multitude of guards. Ryan Jensen did a great job plugging in at center this past year. Here he is, a free agent. But talk about Daniels. Could he come in day one? Let's just say if Jensen happens to get away, could he come in day one and start at center in a power scheme?
That's kind of the general consensus, is that this is a guy that's tailor-made to make an impact early on, and that's part of the appeal of him. He declared early, and a lot of people got really excited about him because you watch him on film, and one thing that he is very good at is resetting the line of scrimmage. You see a lot of centers that are more finesse-type players. They kind of help wall off three techniques or one techniques and a lot of angular blocking. This is a guy that can handle a nose tackle put directly in front of his face and can reset the line of scrimmage. And he's got pretty active feet, so he's transitioning that first punch into push. So I think that's an attractive match if you're talking about Daniels with Baltimore and his ability coming out of a really great school for developing offensive linemen at Iowa. It's a match that makes a lot of sense, in my opinion.
Kyle, we're up against the clock. I apologize about that, but tell everybody how they can find you online, social media, et cetera.
Sure. You can reach me on Twitter. I'm at NDT Scouting. You can visit ndtscouting.com. We're putting some content together for all 32 teams specifically, as well as some overall macro draft stuff. We try to have a little bit of something for everybody.
All right, Kyle, thank you so much. We appreciate this morning. We'll talk to you down the line.
That sounds good. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. That's good to do it, Miles. Have yourself a great one.
You too. Be careful in the snow.
That's right. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.